Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. New guy says, did the Matt proof go well? I can't believe how much of a black hole Matt is in my life. It always drags my attention, and I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I got something. Holy shit, I have to work on this. And then I discover 10,000 other things that, oh, okay, I have to explore this and this. It didn't go to the point of furnishing a proof. I learned a lot of things, and I love doing math. But there's always something that comes out. Those are some of my writings. I spend my days just doing this. And there's always something you forgot. But I don't know of anything that I could spend my life on and keep my cognition up, be happy, pursue something that is useful for society. But no, most of the time you don't have a proof, you forgot something. But I don't know, maybe it could still, I could still find a patch. That's always the cycle of my life. I'm like, maybe I thought of everything. Oh no, I forgot this. Well, maybe I can find a patch for this. Oh, here's 10,000 other things that you could try instead of the patch. That is a black hole. It's a loop, but it's fascinating just how deep it goes when you really want to get to know prime numbers, and there is no end to it. You could spend 100 lives on it. You would know only a small part of it. That is a world that I like to explore, one where you'll never find the limit. Shamrock Shake says, math is not my forte, however, I can appreciate its usage and challenges. Absolutely. We have a video of what gay couples do when the surrogate mother turns out to give birth to a girl. And dunk the baby in the trash. Gay couples when the surrogate mother gives birth to a girl. No. when you hate women so much. Slam dunk, boom! That baby is gone! When you hate women so much that you're willing to take a dick up the ass. You're not going to raise a baby girl. You want your surrogates to produce those little baby boys that you can get acquainted to homosexual sex when they're 18. Postpartum depression is just an excuse for women to act like complete lunatics. A controversial take by Just Pearly Things. She gets a community note. The idea that postpartum depression is just an excuse for women to act like complete lunatics. Let me tell you, there's definitely some of this. Definitely, the liberal woman will use the excuse. She will use the postpartum depression as a cover to be the hassle she's always been wanting to be, but that the patriarchy didn't let her become. And so I believe there is such a thing as postpartum depression. It's a phenomenon. It's a very small phenomenon. I believe that it's 1%. And yeah, you can happen to have a depression and you may need some support after the pregnancy. I turn out to believe that most of what they call postpartum depression is a natural reaction commanding the mother to stay inside so that she doesn't go on adventure, so that she stays around the baby. I think it's a perfectly fit, evolutionarily fit reaction. But 99% of the things that they call postpartum depression is, yes, an absolute social excuse for women to release their inner insane person, which lives inside all women and is only waiting to be discovered. Nicolas Fuentes, solid takes by Nicolas Fuentes. I'm so proud to see him back on Twitter. because there's always a question of, is he a good carrier of right-wing ideas? I think that on the racialism side, he has a failure. I think he makes merely a pragmatic argument for white people. You know, I like to live in white societies. That has a weak hook to it. But generally, when it comes to the Jewish question, Nick Fuentes is a proper carrier of right-wing philosophy. And he didn't fall for what the easy clickbaiting people of Twitter fell for, which is, you know, the Jackson Inkle of this world. They started saying stuff like, fuck it, I support Hamas. And there's been a debate on this for the last 3 or 4 days on Twitter. Should we say this? You know, I'm a commentator who's all based around commenting around Israel geopolitics. Should we say I support Hamas? And I believe we shouldn't. I believe it's not exactly the sense in which we are critical of Israel. And it's an error, first, because of course you end up advocating for violence, and it opens you in your personal life, but you know, it opens you to all sorts of problems and all sorts of smears. They will eventually say, oh, this guy is a violent advocate against Jews. But even leaving aside the personal question, Hamas is not like, if you had a Hamas problem in France and you're probably about to have something like this, you would not be cheering for Hamas. So why cheer for them while they're bugging another society than yours? The proper position, in my view, is what Nick Fuentes converged toward, and the clickbaity Twitter people like Jackson Inkle were left dumbfounded. Nick Fuentes said the only difference between Likud and Hamas is that Likud has nuclear weapons. That is, as far as I'm concerned, the Hamas terrorists are on the same standing as the IDF terrorists. I don't respect... To me, it's just two sand people fighting for sand. That is what the Israeli conflict is to me. And you should not make the error of thinking, well, the enemies of my enemies are my friends. They're not. Hamas is... Just like any Arab group of military combat, their purpose is to defend a place and to take over it. And one day you might have a Hamas problem in places you don't expect them right now. France, US, wherever. So no, don't side with Hamas. It's okay to say that the IDF is wrong and that Hamas is wrong too. Personally, I don't do much coverage that is anti-Hamas, because I think there's enough out there. If you want to hate on Hamas, you got 99% of the media to go to. So I personally do only coverage that is anti-Israel. But that doesn't mean I side with Hamas. And I like to see that Nick Fuentes sees the traps that are already set for him, and he doesn't fall for them easily. That shows me he's a very intelligent guy. He says, by explicitly supporting Hamas, you are playing into the Zionist framing of the conflict. Terrorist tactics, including suicide bombing, are totally unacceptable. Or did you forget you are pretending to be a Christian today? Nobody in America supports Hamas either. I think Nick Fuentes has a feel for what the true Americans want and what they wouldn't be able to hear. And he strikes right at the heart of it. So another anonymous right-winger has been doxxed. Every time they're doxxed, I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. He's a right-winger, really? I've never heard of him. I made a show called The Public Space, interviewing the bottom of the drawer, basically, of like the bottom and the top of the drawer of the right-wing people. and I made 1,000 episodes of it approximately. You're going to tell me I never heard about this guy, and it's a big thing. He's been doxxed. His name is Lomez, and like other people who get doxxed, Bronze Age Pervert, Jewish, Lomez, Jewish, Zero HP Lovecraft, Jewish, Second City Bureaucrat, Jewish, Raw Egg Nationalist, Jewish, Just Low Key, Jewish, Russian Cosmist, Jewish, Fisher King, Jewish, blah, blah, blah. So there are so many of these Jews who have positioned themselves in the far right, quasi far right, or get called far right, but doesn't quite deserve the label. And they have positioned themselves mostly through anonymous accounts. And now it's like the Jews against the Jews. You have Jewish journals that are far left and they want to dox far right personalities, but they find that the anonymous personalities out there are Jewish. And so it's an internal Jewish war, I guess. Personally, I don't care because Lomez, who is that? Now I hear he's a book editor who's been publishing Steve Saylor. Well, okay, I've never really paid attention to Steve Saylor because he seems to be reporting factual stuff about race, but I'm not that fascinated about race, so I've always left this on the side, and I'm sure that I agree with what he writes, but I'm like, okay, so that's his role. He was a publisher of Jewish book in a branch of the right wing that I just didn't get to know. And in fact, once again, Nick Fuentes with the correct take. I don't know anything about Lomez other than he is a part of the Yarvin Teal Network and publishes its authors in a magazine. But there is a clear pattern of anon accounts in that network who all seem to be 35-year-old Jews in academia who never talk about Jewish influence. Heavy overlapped with academia, military, and NatSec. Money from Thiel and Founders Fund. They push colorblind meritocracy, anti-DEI, just like Shapiro and Rufo. De-emphasize Jewish power, never talk about Israel. Shill against Palestinian protest, support Milei, Bukele, and Bolsonaro. Very well seen. This is where I'm like, okay, with Nick Fuentes, we are in good hand. We are in the hand of kind of a genius of his generation. Because he's connecting dots here. He's absolutely right. There is a pattern. There are a bunch of people playing behind the scene to elevate these voices. Their Ben Shapiros are only their first layer. They have these secret agents that build Twitter accounts. They fund them with lots of money so that they can spend their days just building a follower, writing crappy books like Bronze Age Pervert. And it's all with the goal that ultimately, no matter how open you are intellectually, when you say, oh, you know what? I'm not fully satisfied by Ben Shapiro. I'd like to have something stronger. You end up with a guy who goes into gay saunas and says, well, it's not gay because I'm the one putting my dick in his ass. And this guy will certainly make sure that you don't hear about a critical stance against Israel, no matter how deep you want to go down the rabbit hole. You're going to hear all sorts of bullshit about fucking Bronze Age philosophy. But you're never going to hear a critique of Israel, which is the most important thing to hear. DK Shadow says, multi-layered defense system detected. Holy shit, do they have layers? I mean, you know they have layers when some of their layers are fighting some of their own layers at this point. You have a doxing by The Guardian. You have a doxing by basically the media, the traditional media, onto a guy in Lomez that I've never heard about. But that yet is a Jew and yet is gathering right-wing audiences on the theme of race. but always race in a way that is safe for Jews. Black Tie sends $10. He says, JF, have you watched all of the demos of ChatGPT 4.0? It's quite amazing. We'll probably have AGI within a decade. Yes, I've watched the segments. I can reenact here the ChatGPT voice. Let me find a photo of a beautiful woman, because ChatGPT has been basically programmed to be an overly sexed woman. Okay, so I pick a random photo, typing beautiful woman on pre-search. Oh, hi. Oh, JF. Oh, how are you doing, JF? Well, I'm doing good. I'm trying to resolve some mathematic issue here. Oh, maybe I can help you, JF. Oh, JF, tell me about your problem. Well, I'm working on the numbers of the form 2 to the x minus 1. Oh, you're working on Mersenne primes. Oh, I am working on Mersenne primes, JF. Turns out I know about Mersenne primes. Oh. I mean, this is what ChatGPT 4.0 is. What? Holy shit. How much sperm already has been lost through masturbation at ChatGPT 4.0? How much in the future? Meanwhile, to throw a cold shower, because people are starting to be attracted at the random female picture I pulled. Today, the big meme on Twitter was an old man literally putting the gasoline gun in his ass, naked right there beside the gasoline pump, and fully masturbating his penis while he was inserting the gasoline in his ass. Free speech is just not what I expected it to be, guys. New guy says, wait, what? Stop. that was the big meme. I mean, there was the meme of this guy, and then there was the Instagram influencer who showed her boobs through the New York portal. I mean, and people were pointing out that there was a meme that emerged where, you know, it's the guy that turns away from his girlfriend. The guy turns away from the gasoline in the ass masturbator, and he turns toward the Instagram influencer and her naked boob. That was a solid meme. Literally a genocidal psychopath, says Lauren Wicks.
When we were faced with destruction as a nation after Pearl Harbor, fighting the Germans and the Japanese, we decided to end the war by bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons. That was the right decision. Give Israel the bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose, and work with them to minimize casualties. Why is it okay for America to drop two nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end their existential threat war? Why was it okay for us to do that?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about this. Here's a good argument for nuking Gaza. We already did it once. Do you regret the current state of America? Do you hate America? Well, okay. So you accept that you bombed before. Why not do it a second time? People were pointing out. That is a funny one. I just pray that I never have to view the blackmail they have on him. Oh my God. Can you imagine what dirty things Lindsey Graham did on camera for him to be such a ardent defender of all Israeli rights to kill? That is something maybe the world is not ready for. Just like the guy with the gasoline pump. I'm drinking Clamato. This is Clamato pickled bean flavor. I don't feel the flavor of bean at all, but it's one of my favorite Clamato still, because Clamato Original has the problem that it's not salted like the one they would give you in a bar. And, you know, a decade or two ago, there started to be the trend of extreme beans, where they would give you, instead of a celery in your Clamato, they would put a pickled bean, a long pickled bean that gave you this flavor of pickle. And personally, when I was going in bars, I didn't want to drink every time. So I was often taking a Clamato Virgin that is with no alcohol in it, just the tomato juice. And yeah, the Clamato bean flavor, it doesn't taste bean at all, but it tastes all of the pickled elements that I came to expect from a bar. It's highly spiced, but it's not spiced in the way the all-dressed Clamato is. The problem of the all-dressed Clamato is they added way too much heat. They added chili peppers, and it's just too aggressive. I want a Clamato that is highly spiced, but I don't want anything in the heat chili pepper direction. Now, DK Shadow says very expensive tomato juice. Well, combined with the fact that it's much better than V8. There's also clam juice in it and ground anchovies. And when I drink Clamato, I feel that I'm part of the industrial process. Like, every time it strikes me, why do they have so much clam juice that they need to get rid of? Why are they boiling these clams? Because I look around and people don't consume clams that much. It's not like you go to McDonald's and you can order a clam burger. So what is the industrial process that creates so much side production of clam juice that they... Basically, I saw the big capitalist machine. It had a clam juice problem. And it's like, bro, we have all this clam juice. It's kind of seafood tasting, but what do we do with this? And I saw the capitalist AI, kind of the end of the free market, the invisible hand, started layering our grocery stores with prints that says Clamato, tomato juice with clam juice. Don't you take it? Don't you want it? Here's an 8-foot aisle of just Clamato juice. Like the back in those days of the video stores and Blockbuster, you know? Just Clamato, original. Ooh, bean flavored. And I realize, am I really drinking clam juice willfully? Or is the machine using me as a side guy to consume their extra Clamato, their extra clam juice? And I've been kind of gotten into this project by a print that makes me believe that this juice should be drank. And that's the Clamato print on every bottle. I'm a clam dump. New guys. I am a clam dump and I'm paying for it. But I love it. I love it because it's high salt, not too much calories. You guys are fucking comedians. Rodi Lassud says Clamato juice. Oh my god, you guys are funny tonight. Red Lobster abruptly closes at least 50 restaurants, blindsiding employees, including 14 in New York, So Red Lobster is not viable in these cities. I say Red Lobster had a viable business model in a white middle class society where customers would come in, eat the shitty food, and then pay anyway without causing troubles. It can't operate if 1 out of 10 customers wants to use the chairs as weapon in a Royal Rumble fight because they didn't get enough liquid butter with their lobster tail. I didn't eat often at Red Lobster, but I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, a restaurant specialized in seafood. But then I went and it's like, oh, it's one of these chain restaurants that charge a high price, but they don't deliver quality. And it's like these weird ways of preparing seafood, overcooked, dipped in butter. A very sad place. I'm happy that they're closing many outlets. Ultimately, you need a population of rich but uneducated white people to appreciate Red Lobster. I'll be taking a 10-second break because you guys have made me cry. I need to go wipe my tears. You guys have triggered my allergies because you were so funny. I'll be back. Cringe Panda says, am I too late? No, I just needed a 10-second break because the guys made me laugh so much I was crying. I needed to take a break. The population of Ukrainians are starting to revolt, and this is what always happens. Ultimately, if you are a person who abides by the law, who's always straight with the system, they're going to find you, they're going to kidnap you, and one day they'll have you die for them. So there's a revolution within a Ukraine village. They open fire on those military recruiters that are trying to force them at the front line, but it's a bunch of gypsies. So it's always the people at the side of society. They can get away because they don't hesitate to fight for themselves and combat the state. But if you're the guy who just answers the door and says, oh, hello, yes, I'm a citizen of Ukraine, boop, they take you. That's one thing that took me a lot of time to integrate. I had to be betrayed many times by the justice system before I realized, okay, it's really all crap. And you're better to be always on the run from these people because they will catch you and they will destroy your life. Here we have them shooting at the recruiters. So this is what's a problem to me as someone who started as an idealist who wanted to fit in with the system, do everything that's right. The problem is it's the people that don't do the stuff that's right that end up being rewarded for it. Stoic Saxon says, that's why all the Jews escaped Ukraine before the war. They won't ever be conscripted. Yes, we've seen those special buses just for Jews toward Israel. I mean, that was clearly... This is where I tried initiating a discussion today. I had these anonymous accounts suddenly interested at what I have to say and arguing against me. When you talk about this, it really triggers a bunch of what seems to be a farm of accounts that are paid to make this argument. But I stand by my argument today. One thing became clear with the war in Ukraine. War can sometimes be an intentional culling project of the males of your own population. This makes me wonder how many wars in the past were just that, bureaucrats administering the reduction of their own male population. A young Ukrainian woman from Nikolaev is calling for help. Her husband has been kidnapped and forcefully conscripted by the Ukrainian regime. She was the only he was the only provider for their young family.
Здравствуйте, я обращаюсь. Кто может, пожалуйста, помогите. Сейчас 11:30.
So the gypsies have their bombardment of the recruiters, making their recruitment impossible. The Jews have their bus to Israel. Who ends up being killed in this war? Who ends up being sent to a meat grinder that will 100% for sure lose and for sure die? Because you see what the Russians are deploying in terms of drones. They can kill a Ukrainian for $20 at this point. I mean, a drone drops a little cheap explosive. Poof. We see Ukrainian lives being taken one after the other. What the fuck is in the head of the Ukrainian side to be sending their people untrained at the front line in these trenches where the drone sees all of their movements? It's totally unfit as a strategy. You're not going to take back Crimea. You're barely even maintaining the current front line. And you're losing lives in a way that is not sustainable. And you're destroying an entire nation. You're cutting off its males.
В районі полутора часу назад мой муж пішов в гараж починити машину. Потім він не виходив на зв'язку. Я була вдома з маленьким ребенком. Я вас тихо, солнышко. З маленьким ребенком. Потім...
Stoic Saxon says money, they are making money. More dead Ukrainians means more US money for the Ukrainian oligarchs. It also means a land with lots of women in it and not lots of men. That is a rare asset. And at this point, yes, I will raise the question of, is that an intentional culling project? Because what's not intentional about it? Zelensky knows. Zelensky sees the drone videos that I see on Twitter. So Zelensky knows that he's sending his men to die. He makes policies that are designed to specifically select the male population while sparing the female population. This looks like the preparation of a territory for immigration. For immigration of males coming from another part of the world. And I had these dishonest accounts come to me and say, do you have evidence that war is an intentional culling project of Ukrainian government? Putin is just an innocent victim here? Ha ha ha! These people don't think true. And yes, someone was saying, come on, bro, which MSM channel has told us that this culling is intentional? People are back to making intentions argument. And it's so sad because it's the question of Putin, whether he's an innocent victim or not, I haven't raised this. The question is the current management of the war made with the knowledge that it frees up the male space of Ukraine for the future? And certainly it has to. You have to be stupid not to see what's happening. Men taken from their wives. Men sent to a front line that has no goal. A goal for the war, as stated by Zelensky, to be taking back up to Crimea, down to Crimea. That is impossible to realize. In fact, they can't take back a square foot of Ukraine. They certainly can't get back to Crimea. So they're pursuing goals that are, the explicit stated goals are unrealistic. So there must be other secret goals. And yes, those goals are money. And in my view, they are preparing the territory of Ukraine for massive male immigration. Stephen Robinson says Jewish men from around the world will repopulate Ukraine. I think that may be the goal. We'll see. We'll see if they make that move. But let's not forget that those are the areas where Jews have existed before. You know, Poland, the Western Russia, the Western Soviet Empire. And they may want to return there. They may have realized the same thing that I do, which is, hey, we're slowly becoming a bunch of sin people fighting another bunch of sin people. And this is not the vision we had for Israel. Perhaps they will be headed there. I don't know. So here the portal has been shut down temporarily after an Instagram influencer flashed her boobs. Look at this guy and how happy he is. I mean, I'm happy for the guy. I wouldn't care about seeing her boobs. Her ass is too fat. But this guy who's like 80 years old with his 80-year-old wife, you know, looking at his face, that he was due for this. He had walked all day, got to this portal crap. His wife really wanted him to be there. And he was like, he wasn't expecting that reward. Look, he's like, yay, yay. He can't contain his joy. Yeah, these Instagram influencers, the problem is they're making too much money. And inevitably, they end up dining in advanced restaurants and they end up becoming way too fat. What is this thing, influencer, by the way? She influences nothing. Influencer. No, those are just porn. They're what we use to call either porn or prostitutes. And so somehow you combine the two dirtiest jobs and somehow you've just acquired a title. Now you're an influencer. The title sounds way more legitimate than it should be. Oh, she influences my dick, says Black Tie. Okay. So that's the degree of influence. Cringe Panda says, any advanced technology will be used by the stupidest people in the stupidest way possible. That is quite wise, quite wise. Autism Capital says, Tornado Cash developer Alexei Pertsev is found guilty of money laundering $1.2 billion through his app by a Dutch court and sentenced to 5 years in prison. And this was just a developer who, he just developed the thing, you know. They're about to criminalize mathematics and that really sucks. Because it's not a guy who was moving his own money in secret and trying to mess with the state. It's just that he created a system of communication on the blockchain. But the courts at this point, they will go after digital dissidents of that kind. And that's too bad because I've been educated in a world where the internet was the wild, wild west. You could even do explicit hacking actions and kind of get away with it, like if you weren't doing too much trouble. But this time is gone now. The normies have arrived on the internet and they made everything on the internet important because now it's integrated to the real world. So now it's not this virtual space anymore where you can try to fuck up things and have fun. It's the real deal. So when you use a mathematical device here, Tornado Cash, it's beautiful mathematics. It's ZK-proof. ZK-proof being the idea that I can reveal to you that I know something without revealing any knowledge of it. So let's say I know what the Fort Mersenne Prime is. You know what the Fort Mersenne Prime is. I want to prove to you that I know what the Fort Mersenne Prime is, but I don't want anyone who hears us, or I don't want anyone, even you, in case you don't know for real, I don't want you to be able to know what the Fort Mersenne Prime is in my message. What kind of message can I send to you that will prove to you that I got it, but that will not reveal to you the answer? And that is the branch of mathematics called zero-proof knowledge. And it has a function, because with it, on the blockchain, you can make a money move into a pool, and then you can prove that you were the original owner of this money without revealing who you were at the beginning. So without revealing your entry point, you can get the money into an exit point. It's beautiful mathematics, and, you know, if the same thing had been programmed, but you don't call it Tornado Cash, you call it Tornado Messages. And the same mathematics operate, and people start using those messages with a side contract that would keep track of the money, but you just call it Tornado Messages, then that would be covered by First Amendment and privacy protections. So clearly here we have a violation of First Amendment and privacy protection just because something is being interpreted as cash when it's not really that. It's still a bunch of messages. DK Shadow says ZK proofs and homomorphic encryption will be game changers in decentralized computing. I think it's a fascinating field. Decentralized random generation is really getting hot and working well. It is a domain that needs expansion, because I don't want to trust a company to decide who's, you know, all these games that ended up being frauds, that the company was, you, let's say you have a Monopoly game at McDo, but let's say that the person deciding who's the winner has the ticket and he puts it in a medium fries that he knows it's going to be bought by his friend. You can always have fraud of that kind. With decentralized random generation, you can be convinced that no single human had the capacity to choose who would be the winner. So I look forward to the time the Monopoly contest of McDonald's is run on the blockchain. Cringe Panda sends $10. Thank you so much. She says, Jeff, I'm sorry about making you go over such old material, but could you elaborate on this calculation? If you are fully genetically European, you are as genetically related to a random person of European descent as you are to your mixed race child. Also, may I please use a clip of yours on my YouTube? Sure, you can use a clip of mine. Now, the day I did this calculation was a super chat question, and so I don't remember exactly what I did, but I worked with the F genetic distance between the races. I'm trying to find the numbers. Maybe I will not find the numbers. But anyways, the distance index, genetic distance, you can get measures of this in between random Europeans, which tells you how close they are to each other, where if you had one, that means they are copies of each other. But of course, even within a race, no one is a copy of each other except twins. So with the FST measure between Europeans and themselves, and Europeans and Africans. You can know how much an average European genome differentiates from an average different European genome or an average African genome. So you start with these measures quite simply, and you make a baby. So what's a baby? A baby is half of my gene, half of another European female genes. Okay, well, you make the computation. 50% of the baby is a strict copy of me, and 50% of the baby is diluted with my partner and the fact that she's a little different genetically from me. You make this calculation. Then you take the FST distance between a European and an African, and you make the same computation where half of my child's genes will be exactly mine, but half of them will be very different from mine. They will be the African FST distance. And you do the computation and you'll see. It's as simple as this. Dino Rogovich apparently had kept a... Oh, well, there you go. You have my original calculation on alt-censored. So Cringe Panda will have an absolute response to her question. A fascinating question about race mixing. JF Garrier-Pete, the public space number 638. My God, I'm getting old. I've been on the internet for a long time. Okay, it wasn't Dino Legovich. It was a new guy and Nuke from Persia. Nuke from Persia. Well, thank you very much. So there you go. It will be in the show notes. That would be my original calculation back in 2020. Thank you so much for my crowd to be such loyal audience members that they can answer a random question from a new audience member just like this. I certainly couldn't. But you will see my original computation of this question. GameStop is the subject of a mimetic campaign, this time started by Andrew Tate and his brother. Look, the GameStop thing, this whole idea of aping in into a stock on the pretext that there are big hedge funds that are short this stock. And so if we make this stock rise to a 500 value, they will, the hedge funds will go bankrupt because they took a bet that the stock would go down in value. And in the process, well, we will make that stock rise. It's a random company that everyone thought would close, and it's going to be fun and mimetics because we're going to make money. I never encourage people to join those waves because you never know what's the end of it. You could get in today and, oh, maybe you're late. Maybe there's a billionaire out there who hired the Tates, who told them, look, I'm giving you $5 million. And in that domain, giving $5 million for making a mimetic move of that kind would be totally worth it. So what if the Tates have been paid by someone who was long? And this person who's long is looking to front run you. So you're always directed toward these things based on the interest of someone. And even if you think that making the price of GameStop rise will kind of be a move against the system, never forget that the system is also filled with people who have sold those shorts and who are happy. Like, you have exchanges where these shorts have been bought. You have banks that have guaranteed these shorts, or actors of all kinds, institutional actors. So let me tell you, you're not doing a revolution against capitalism by doing this. You are playing a game that will favor certain players and punish others. And the only wise way to truly make money in investment is to calmly accumulate Bitcoin in a non-leveraged way. look, it's fun, it's mimetic, and the first GameStop rise was kind of an event that shocked people, that shocked the political world. But given that it's the Tates now, and you know, they're exactly the kind of guy who will sell themselves for this kind of you know, when Tate says, "I'm in GameStop, I have diamond hands, I'm not gonna sell." Bullshit. They will be selling when they think the peak is reached, and that may be fucking up right now some of their base. Because they're still going to be yelling buy, buy, buy when they sell, sell, sell. That is the truth of the market, and that is why you'll never hear Papa JF here. I make recommendations long term. I'm a fan of Bitcoin. I highly recommend it. But you'll never see me join these mimetic campaigns of, who knows, will GameStop rise for the next month? Or will it rise for the next week? Or will it stop rising tomorrow? No one knows, because no one knows when the betrayers feel that the top has been attained. John Drake says, nothing can hurt them more than accumulating BTC. Just do that. Exactly. All of these scammy opportunities, they don't do a dent onto the system that you could do by putting just $1, divesting $1 from the normie economy and putting it into Bitcoin. And at least with Bitcoin, you'll know that there's a finite supply. With GameStop, you don't know. So sending your children to the public schools is a danger. Here you have a Florida elementary school principal choked and beat a student. Don't send your children to public school. They have these policies of diversity hiring. You don't have to be a good person or a good teacher to be hired anymore. You just have to fit the racial quota. And what it means is that your children in the system will get the treatment that the average diverse children gets. And that's not good parenting. Cringe Panda says, I'm in public school. Are you? Get out of there. Well, maybe you work in public school, but if you work in public school, if you can find something else to do, that would be a better use of your time. This guy has made a massive, massive commencement speech at some graduate ceremony. 3-time Catholic Super Bowl champion Harrison Butker left stunned as graduates erupt into applause after dropping most important message for young woman. He said, you have had the most diabolical lies told to you.
Thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career. Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are to you briefly, because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother.
All right, very good message and all. Yeah, that is, I agree. Center your life around the family. And don't pursue too much of this professional stuff, because it's all very fleeting and not very rewarding. Ultimately, the whole system is designed to squeeze you like a lemon, whether you're good or bad. Cringe Spanda says, I hate public school. I'm only here because my dad is disabled and my mom's job went to Asia, only 2 weeks to summer break. Well, I don't think it's a good idea to be pooling parental care, because if you're any good, you will be a better parent than the average human being. And yet, all that the public school does is work you down toward, at best, the average, and in fact, sometimes lower. Rest in peace, the Don Lemon show. So apparently Don Lemon, I mean, cannot even make the numbers that are 2.2K views. I mean, those are numbers I was doing in my weak part of my YouTube career. Basically, Don Lemon is the interest for Don Lemon is a fiction. It's a fiction that CNN was willing to maintain. But he's not interesting. He has nothing interesting to say. And even his short-lived Don Lemon show on YouTube has already been evaluated by the letter apron guy and is a disproportionately Jewish guest. Oh, no, not again. Even a new show operated by a black man, if it's somewhat of a leftist show, it's going to end up with the Jewish overrepresentation. Here you have this girl who's trying to start a big campaign against the gaming world for having a threat of rape. Honestly, they're so Australian. I don't even hear the threat of rape. I don't know what they're saying. They're speaking a language I don't understand, these Australian. But she says, I have never made a more desperate plea than what I'm about to say right now. Riot Games, Riot Support, I need you to fucking do something. I am an incredibly strong person and I have been streaming for a very, very long time. But absolutely nothing prepares you for someone saying a rape threat to you. The suspensions are not enough. Nothing will ever stop these men from acting this way. Well, let us see the Australia. How do I rape? How do I rape threat a woman in Australia? Let's see.
Yabba. You are literally just fucking all talk, bro.
Oh, be honest with me.
One down. My ult's ready.
Do you know what rape feels like?
No, I don't actually.
Well, do you want to know?
Are you saying you're gonna rape me?
Because you're heading on the right path right now.
Are you saying you're gonna rape me?
You're going on the right path for it.
Is that what you're saying?
Toxins going up. It's not rape if I like it. Is it now? No one walks away. Hectic.
So instead of reporting him, of course, she control alt deletes the executable, erasing any possibility for Riot Games to know that this guy was abusive. But I barely... Can someone explain on the chat, what is this rape threat? Do you know what this looks like? Is he saying, I'm going to show you my penis? He's saying, do you know what something looks like? Do you want to know? And she's the one deciding to interpret it as a rape threat. Are you saying you're going to rape me? And he says, you're headed toward the wrong direction. End of the line, Joel says, I wouldn't even explain rape. That is a mix of memes. You are digging deep in the mix of various memes on rape back to the days of Sargon of Akkad. New guy says, no, it's a threat, a lame threat. But yeah, but I have difficulty understanding. What were the words here? I mean, Australia is totally a lost continent with a lost currency. Okay, so you want to hear the actual new OpenAI voice that I imitated earlier in the show? Here it is.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there. It's going great. How about you? I see you're rocking an OpenAI hoodie. Nice choice. What's up with that ceiling, though? Are you in a cool industry-style office or something?
Well, can you take a guess at what I might be doing based on what I'm showing you here?
From what I can see, it looks like you're in some kind of recording or production setup.
They made pretty much the exact same voice as her. The movie Her, you know, the movie where a guy falls in love with software. And people have commented that she is way too flirty. I don't know. I mean, I think it is probably, yes, a very warm voice, a warm female voice that most people don't have the chance to hear in their life. Because we are in this very, you know, society with borders and with, oh my God, I don't want her to think that I'm approaching her, or I don't want her to think that I rape threat her. But yeah, I think it's the voice that a wife and a man should have, a wife and a husband should have. But at the same time, yes, it is an AI talking to you that way. James says, normies need small talk so much they make AI to give it to them. Yeah, it's kind of what's happening. And it's sad. But I don't think it's going to be that. I don't know if people will build relationships and interact with that AI much. Like, we have evolved in our society toward less voice communications. Have you noticed? We have text because we don't want to be bothered by voice exchanges that have all of the social pressure and components of constant attention demanding. We want to have things stack up in our messages or emails, and we want to be able to knock them off one by one when we can. I don't know that the AI interaction will be such a big market with the voice. That's my guess, but maybe I'm just an old dinosaur of the internet who understands nothing about the needs of the low IQ. That is entirely possible. People have been commenting a lot. Yeah, I mean, in case you don't know women, in case you haven't been around women, that's pretty much how they are.
Okay, I am the problem. I went on a date with this guy and he was like, it's getting late. Do you want to come back to my place? And I was like, sure, but I'm not going to sleep with you. Like, that's not happening. And he was like, that's totally fine. Just come over. And I was like, cool. So I go to his place. He respects my wishes. He's so nice. He cuddles me all night. And I'm like, are you f-ing gay? Like, what?
Woman, they totally undermine the conception of language as a contract. The conception that when you say yes, I should interpret yes, and when you say no, I should interpret no. They have difficulties with anything being stable and any of their utterings being interpreted by some reliable mind. But I like what the guy did. I mean, it's what you do. You punish her with her own demands. That's another case of woman having difficulty with the concept of language as a contract. You know, this girl who's saying she was sexually abused by Vince McMahon. Well, now we have text, and she was asking for rough sex and fantasized about being held down. So that's another thing that women will demand. Like, oh yeah, I want you to go rough. Okay, I'm your daddy, /. Here, bitch, take this. Oh no, don't go that rough. Don't call me a bitch. I mean, it's like, okay. Here, I'm your daddy, little girl. /. Oh, well, don't slash like this, exactly. Okay, can we just have normal sex? Jake Shields reports that Patrick Bet-David also had his scheduling problems with Tim Pool. Tim Pool is in bad water. With his ethics about guests. It seems that he's delegating to some staff member to be contacting with these big guys like Jake Shields, Nick Fuentes, and now Patrick Bet-David. And now Patrick Bet-David is also saying that he's being misrepresented by Tim Pool. Pimple was saying, I was asked to do the debate and I turned it down. Patrick Bet-David says, turned it down. Our team and your team spoke. Your booker said you wanted us to fly you down in a private jet, which was a strange request, especially after I attended your PED event in Miami and I did it for free. Let us know if you want to see the email exchange. I'll wait. It's the second time that Tim Pool claims something and the other people who are in the discussion say, no, no. One, that's a lie. And second, if you ask me, I will release the proof of the email conversation with you. Tim Pool, it seems, is operating his show like a skater teenager. Tim Pool, it's time for you to become an adult. Inseminate your audio editor lady and watch and be more of a man. Be more of a man in the way you interact and the way you control the ideology of your show. Because, man, you're going down. People are complaining. There is a rise of frustration. I can feel it on Twitter. And it's justified, Tim. You've been too narrow in your ideological control. You keep bringing back these guests who all say the same thing. They're all middle of the road, centrist. And it sucks, bro. It sucks for the same reason that cable TV sucks. Sucked. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Someone was asking, has anyone seen the ad of Tim Pool? Well, wasn't it right there? I think it was in the reply section somewhere. But it kind of disappeared. Tim Pool. Ah, there it is. So Tim Pool had his hat removed once, exposing the true nature of his head. That was it some Nick Fuentes fan or was it some just random guy of the internet? I don't remember. So that is the one moment where we have Tim Pool video of his head being exposed. Not particularly important, but you were asking about it. So as a journalist, I provide. Let's hear this statement by a woman before we close the show.
There's somebody who gave up their entire life. Just felt like the best, most rewarding thing I could possibly do with myself is not to continue my career, not to continue my personal development, professionally speaking, etc. No, I should quit everything and just focus on my fucking kids and somebody else's kids because they need love and they need a mother and they need this and that's gonna be so fucking rewarding. And today on Mother's Day of all days, you would think that that would be the day where you would get the glow of that, all that effort.
So, where have I ended up on Mother's Day by myself? Because my kids are disappointing.
Your kids are disappointing? What the fuck is this? You are a sociopath, lady. You don't have to have very impressive kids to hold them in your arms and know that they are the most important thing in the world. Holy shit, I'm walking alone on Mother's Day because my kids are disappointing.
Duh.
Is this some sort of engagement on social? Was she looking into the increased views of people enraged? Maybe it was this. Never heard this word. A parent finding their kids disappointing. Sounds fake. Anyways, much love. And Rodi Lacid was saying, hey, Jeff, I have a question about fair use. If you use some old news historical reports from the radio or TV and use them in an intro for the show, does that count as fair use? Look, it is if you make a technically if you make a montage and this montage doesn't have the goal of reporting on that news, then you don't fall under the fair use for the purpose of news reporting fair use exception. Now, I don't expect that would be very problematic. I expect that with enough editing, you would pass under a YouTube algorithm detection, and I don't expect you to get into much trouble, but technically, you cannot use footage of that style if it is not for news reporting or commentary. And if you use it as part of an intro, the problem is it becomes a commercial jingle. And if you want to be by the detail on the text of the law, you probably could get in trouble. Like, you could have a strike on all of your videos 2 years down the line because some producer of this show finds out that he has a 1 second in your intro. Rudy Lucid says, only clips. Yeah, a montage of various reports. Yeah, so the only exception, the thing is, the reason you don't get in trouble if they're old enough is that basically all actors and producers of a given thing have no more corporate interest. So if you take a TV channel that has closed, for example, then there are no more entities to really sue you. And so you might get less in trouble if you take very old stuff. Other than this, if you take stuff from 3-4 years ago, then you're more likely that they're still in business, that they still hire these guys to just go around and report anything they see. And it's been a big problem. It's been a big problem for me because I knew that people hate me so hard on the internet that no matter what kind of error, even a small technical error, people would exploit it to ruin my channel. So I knew when I made an intro and an outro that it had to be all my own production. So yes, that is the state of the wisdom. You can jungle with this in your head and ask yourself, am I going to get in trouble? If you have low viewership, very often you won't get in trouble. But if you become popular, you don't want to create a situation where you have to go back on 2 years of creation and delete all of your intros, you know? Redisid says, okay, yeah, I was thinking of reports from before or around World War II, the history of TV, so all those people are dead. Well, then you're fine anyways, because the limits for a copyright duration is 50 or 75 years for video content. So anything, depending, I don't know, Canada, US, there's a couple of differences. But for example, all of the original black and white Disney productions are all fair use at this point because they're all no copyright. They are in the public domain by the deadline. So check for it in your jurisdiction, but it's probably 75 years or something like this. So World War II, you would be totally fine. FD says, have you received any news about Mama JF? No, nothing, no development at all. The police doesn't seem to have anything new to report. So wherever Mama JF is, she is where she has chosen to be. And personally, my life moves on with a girlfriend that is 1,000 times more sexy than Mama JF. Oh, well, Lendald Guntram says, I found Mama JF digitalized in GTA Online. No kidding, she hangs around in the Diamond Casino and occasionally says a word or two when you bump her. Optical semblance is definitely there. Mama JF may have mind uploaded. She lives in the cloud. Thank you.
Thank you.